IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport. Welcome back to Shooting Space, episode 2. I'm pumped to be back, pumped to be talking about more lacrosse with y'all. Thank you everyone who listened to the last episode for all your comments and retweets, sharing the podcast that I had with Taylor. Had such a fantastic time talking to her, and I think that really set a great tone for the series, and I'm excited to keep continuing. So today on Shooting Space, we have Katie DeFeo, who some of you may know her as one of your favorite lacrosse YouTubers and USC lacrosse player personality known around campus, does a really awesome series called Katie Versus that I'll delve into. We'll talk about what she does, but just someone who's so involved on her campus, on and off the field, and has really emerged as an amazing role model for lacrosse players worldwide through her social media, and someone that I wanted to have a conversation with because I think we're both in kind of similar positions with our social media, going through a lot of the same things and having our voices be amplified in such an amazing way. So, Katie, thank you for joining me. Please go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us about you.
Wow. So that was quite the intro. I don't think you left anything out, but yes, I'm Katie DeFeo. I'm from Severna Park, Maryland, proudly. I play lacrosse here at USC in Los Angeles, California, and we just won the Pac-12 championship. Just wanted to throw that in there. So as of this recording, we are waiting to see where we will be playing in the NCAAs, which is super exciting. No, but first off, I just wanted to say, I think my first experience on social media, like really going out there and putting my stuff out there, was when I took over the official Lax Girl account my senior year of high school on my official visit to USC.
Amazing.
And I felt like I was like the biggest star ever. Like I remember posting like 15 pictures a day and just being so pumped about it. So I've always wanted to say that, and I just wanted to throw that out there. I've been an official Lax Girl OG for a very long time.
Thank you. That makes me so happy because I remember that and I was like, oh, I love this. Like, so glad she's sharing her experience. And I think you were one of the first people that did a takeover, if not the first, really. And it's so fun to have watched your journey from, you know, being in high school, doing your official visit, and now being at USC. I think it's so cool. So tell me a little bit about how you got into lacrosse. You mentioned you're from Severna Park, obviously an area and a school that has a really, really strong program, has had a strong program for a minute. So tell us how you got into the game.
My earliest memories playing lacrosse were with my brothers, my older brothers, in my front yard. Everyone just kind of always has a stick in their hand where I'm from. It's like kind of unusual if you don't. Like, lacrosse is like the biggest sport at our high school, not like football, basketball, all the other like common big sports. My next door neighbor growing up, his name's Jeff Lohman. He played goalie at St. John's, and he was like the high school goalie, like the starter for 3 years when I was like in, I want to say, elementary school. And I just remember that being the coolest thing because I would go to the games like this little girl, like, and I would wear his jerseys, and it was like super cool. And I think he was like the earliest, like, I would say lacrosse role model I had, just being on my street. He was always dying sticks with my older brothers. And I mean, yeah, so I picked up a stick and I did a little camp when I was like probably in first grade. And then ever since then, I've just always had it in my hand and always been playing.
That's awesome. I love that. Love the shout out to, you know, the OG inspirations that teach us the fun of the game and kind of teach us the fundamentals and all the different aspects. And you mentioned too, having brothers and having, you know, them to play lacrosse with and learn from as well. I think that's awesome. So, you know, what was that like playing at Severna Park? I'm always curious, and I think I asked Taylor a similar question. You know, what's it like playing at a program that is obviously strong and just being part of that experience?
Yeah, so it was really unique, and I think it prepared me really well for, like, the club circuit and for college because, we had very difficult practices. Like, every single girl in my senior graduating class is now playing Division I lacrosse. Every girl in the grade above me is playing Division I lacrosse, so it's, like, super competitive. Like, obviously, there's only, 11 spots on the field, and we have, like, 30 to 35 girls that are all D1 level talented players, so I think that pushed me, and I think that instilled, like, I guess a work ethic at a very young age. Like, when you come in as a freshman, like your classmates, you guys are just in eighth grade, are now up for varsity. And it's and varsity freshmen will play at Serena Park. It's not like this hierarchy thing.
Right.
So it was always competitive, like right from the beginning. But I think that really brought out a lot of good in me. And I think practicing every day, having difficult practices, and then having to go home and do schoolwork and like other interests, like that also instilled like the commitment in me. And I feel like I value the commitment aspect of it now because I had that in high school.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I love that. And I love, you know, that they're not being a hierarchy. It's all about the work, the talent, and every day being pushed to be your best. I think that's such a great thing about sports that I love, is just, you know, every day showing up, and you gotta bring it, gotta be ready to go. And you mentioned also, you know, the club circuit in Maryland. Wow, what club did you play for? And, you know, who are some of your teammates that maybe you're going up against now that you played with during club?
Yeah, so I just want to give a quick shout out to Maura and Todd Levitt. I played for Integrity Lacrosse Club, and I had great experience there. We would practice with the older girls. They were always pushing us. We even had sometimes younger teams that were like literally as talented as we were, and we would go up against them and have like super heated, tightly contested games. And I guess a few of my teammates who were on my club team that I go up against now, one of them is Claire Domschick. She also went to my high school. She plays at University of Oregon. So we play twice a year in conference. And then another girl who also plays at Oregon, Allie Mervine, she's a goalie at Oregon. So I see them twice a year. And then some teammates from my high school that I play against in college, one of my like really, really good friends, Sarah Elms, she plays at Jacksonville. So we played Jacksonville this year. So that was nice.
Nice. And is it weird to, you know, to be on the other side of that? Like, or is it, because I usually think it's pretty fun to go up against some people that I played with before, but it can also kind of have that element of being like, oh man, this is so strange.
Yeah, it's definitely like a strange experience. Just going from like, especially with Claire, I mean, I played all three sports in high school with her, and I played club with her in the summers and falls. So like we were literally spending like every second together. And then now to just be with like my new crew, like my new friends at USC, and like she's on the opposing side, and it's just like, it's definitely a weird experience.
Definitely, definitely. And I think something too that I really enjoy about, you know, following you on social media and following along with your videos too is the connections that you have. And I think, you know, what you just said and the shout outs that you just gave really speaks so strongly to your personality and just how like you're connected to people, and through social media we get to see your awesome friendships and all the adventures that y'all go on. So, you know, kind of shifting to your social media presence, you know, I'm just kind of scrolling on YouTube right now, and you have 52,000 subscribers on YouTube. You have 30,000 followers on Instagram, like insane numbers. Subscribe.
you got to
subscribe. Like, how did this happen? Like, how did you build this ginormous community of people in lacrosse?
So I would say it's a couple of things. I would say, first off, I think lacrosse media in general is in a very early, young stage. Like, I think if you look at Instagram and you look at that account, Diggs Tape, just the spin he puts on the game, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but it's just like he adds like funny color commentary to lacrosse highlights. And he's the first person to do that. And like, I think that we at the beginning with the vlogs, myself and my teammates in March of last year, I think we were really just filling a void. Like, I always tell people, when I was younger, when I was in middle school, high school, I always wanted to look at like what it would be like to play lacrosse in college, and like look on like social media, YouTube. And there really weren't many videos back then. Like, there weren't any vloggers, really anything like that. So I think we just filled a void at the beginning, and I think people latched on. And then I would attest the growth after the beginning, early stages, to just like, I think we do a pretty good job of like showing what it's like to balance the hard work in lacrosse and then like the personalities of off the field.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think that's awesome. It's all about identifying the void. You know, when I started my account, it was, I just want to tweet about lacrosse. Like, I don't think enough people are doing this and all that. So you find kind of the hole, and then you find a way to fill it, and you find people around you that, that have similar interests. And something too, I'm always curious about is kind of the differences. Like, how does your connections, how do your connections on Instagram kind of differ with your connections on YouTube? Or do you think there's a really good connection between the two? Like, do you see them as two separate communities, or do you kind of see an overlap of the people that you interact with and the people that follow along with your journey?
Well, first off, you said surrounding yourself with people with similar interests. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to multiple of my teammates, Amanda Flahan, Izzy McMahon, Kerrigan Miller, Maddie O'Brien, Kelsey Huff. I mean, the list goes on and on, but you know, I think it's not just me, and I really always say that because it's true. My teammates are more than half of the effort, and they really are hilarious on camera, and I don't think anybody would be watching a video of just me talking to a camera. Like, as much as I would want to think that, I really don't think that is the truth. But anyways, yeah, I just want to give a quick little plug there. But no, so I view YouTube, so I have more on YouTube than I do on Instagram. So I've always viewed it as like Instagram is like supplement to my YouTube. So if I post a YouTube video, I'll always put the link in my Instagram bio, put up a story, put up a picture, because like I almost view like YouTube as like the same, but a little bit more following. So I have to get the Instagram followers to go check out the YouTube video like right when it drops. But I feel like it's the same, like same group of people. Like I have girls who will comment on a YouTube video with like not an anonymous username, but like not their Instagram handle, and then they'll DM me and be like, "Did you see my comment?" And like I think it's just like I think it really is just like the same.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely see some overlap between, like, I'm mostly active on Twitter and Instagram. You know, people have said, like, you should make videos, and on camera, like, oh gosh, here we go. But thankfully, things I can handle the podcast life, that I'm good with.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, and so at USC, can you talk a little bit about what you're studying? And, like, I know what you're studying, but people listening may not, so I'll let you get into that.
Yeah, so I right now I'm currently undeclared, but I'm going to enter the communication school as soon as I can. And you know, it actually fell into my lap in high school. So I like to think that like success or like whatever, like achieving things that you want to achieve is like a lot of hard work and then a tiny bit of luck. So when I was in high school, I committed to USC before I had started making videos. And then when I started making videos and that started to kind of be my thing, it just so happened that USC was like in LA, top lacrosse program, like great teammates, like good communication school, good film school. So that really was like the lucky part of it. So I really am blessed at USC to have such talented people around me, like just like camera personalities and like people who know how to work a camera and like all sorts of filming and all that. So yeah, I'm going to go communications just because I feel like film school, like I like to be self-taught in the filming aspect. And I feel like I would want to add more to my repertoire. So I'm going a different route. So that way I have like multiple skills, I guess you could say. That's kind of my thinking.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome to kind of want the holistic view of all the different things you want to do and take advantage of the opportunities. I think that's something I always say to, you know, people looking at schools is, you know, look at the full view. Like you can play your sport, but what are you studying and what can you get out of your studies? And like, how does your community help strengthen the studies that you're doing? So you mentioned you like the aspect of being self-taught in film. You know, how have you gone about teaching yourself filming, and have you taken classes at school that have helped in that aspect as well?
So I started making like sports hype videos in high school, and I remember always like the judgment of like my video, like how good it was I would like literally keep refreshing the YouTube page like to see if it had more views or like likes or dislikes. And like I remember I made this one like baseball hype video for like my high school baseball team, and it had like more dislikes than it had likes, and I was like, okay, well maybe I didn't use a good song, like maybe my angles were off, like blah blah blah. So I feel like I'm very like, and it shouldn't be this way, but like when I make sports highlight videos, I'm very like reactionary to like how people like receive them. And so, you know, like one of my top obviously buddies is Miles Jones, and like I've been making his videos for his Instagram for like 3 years now, and I can just tell right away when he posts like whether people are going to really dig it or if they're not, and that kind of allows me to take a step back and fix whatever needs to be fixed, or like maybe just scratch the whole thing and start from zero. And I think that's one of the best ways to learn, is just by putting out content, and if people like it, then you keep giving them what they like, and if they don't, then you keep trying different things. That's really the only way I've like ever learned how to do it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think that's, you know, those metrics are really great. We live in a really awesome society in terms of fast feedback, right? Like if I tweet a meme and I get lots of likes, then I'm like, yes, it's a really great meme. And if it doesn't go that well, I'm like, oh, okay, better luck next time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
The mention of the comments and things. And I think that's something too that I really love about your videos is is seeing people's responses and their interactions, whether it be the hype videos or, you know, a vlog or something like that. I always enjoy seeing the different comments that people leave. They're like, notice me, Katie. Or they're like, oh, your teammates are so cool. Or they're like,
It's really funny.
Yeah, and so how does that feel? Like, how does it feel to have that big of a following and have all these people really invested and interested in your daily life?
I mean, honestly, I'm just going to be straightforward. Like, I think it's pretty cool. And, like, I don't take it for granted because I think I'm very, very grateful to be in the position that I'm in. And, you know, like, I just remember being these girls' ages and, like, being obsessed with, like, Alex Austin, like, Taylor Cummings and people like that, and, like, literally being obsessed. And, like, now being on the opposite side of it is, like, super weird, but it's, like, really fulfilling and I really do enjoy it. But I'm just thankful for them. Like, I always tell people that their support means more to me than they could ever know, because, like, I wouldn't really be doing the videos if people didn't enjoy them. Because I'll always be documenting memories, taking pictures and videos, but, like, the full-on editing, like, the late-night grind, like, all of that stuff, like, when I was daily vlogging and this past December, like, I would literally film all day, study for my finals, and then edit all night, and then wake up and repeat for 30 days. And so I wouldn't do all that if it weren't for the kids that, like, have the notifications on to comment right away and, like, comment on my Instagram and, like, DM me to say happy birthday to their friends and, like, things like that. And, like, that's, to me, why I do it in the first place.
That's awesome. Doing it for the fans.
Absolutely.
And on the other side of that, too, you know, I think with all good things, there's sometimes some things that weigh us down. So how do you, I mean, do you feel any pressure sometimes if your videos don't get the responses that you want, or, you know, you have practice, you have class, you have all these different things that you need to do, but you got to get a video up? How do you handle that stress?
Yeah, so I've recently been thinking about that a lot. So I don't usually get mad if a video doesn't get as many views as I like, because at the end of the day, like, if I'm at school and I put, like, Flay and Izzy in a video, like, obviously it's going to get, like, 50,000 views, because, like, that's, like, the prime content. But if I'm at home and I'm, like, with my dad and, like, that's all I can film, then I'd rather put that up than nothing. And so I think some people enjoy it, some people don't. And that's fine. Like, that's the nature of the game. And, like, I'm in a position where I'm not making literally any money off of this. Like, it's not like I'm doing this with some, like, conceited interest. So, like, if people like it, great. If they don't really like it that much, then there'll be another video the next day or the next week or whatever. So I think that kind of alleviates the pressure from that. But you talked about school and lacrosse and stuff. So I basically have, like, four things at school that, like, take up my life, that, like, consume, like, most of my hours. And I would say it's school, lacrosse, my YouTube channel, and then, like, my client work. So, like, videos I'll do for, like, Miles Jones or Deemer Class or people like that. And so usually, I mean, school's obviously first, number one priority always. Lacrosse is right up there with school. And then client work I would put before my YouTube channel, just because, like, I have to make some money, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of, like, the way I make money, the way I pay the bills. Like, that's basically my job. And then usually, like, all the time I have time for the YouTube channel, but sometimes when I don't, it's difficult to take a step back and be like, I can't make a video this week because I know people want it, but I just don't have the time and I need to, like, take care of myself first. So I haven't posted in a little while on YouTube. You know, I'm just waiting for the right moment. I had to take care of myself a little bit. I got big finals, big lacrosse postseason, everything. So, you know, I'm just taking my time and everyone will be there. And all my fans and viewers are super appreciative and super nice in the DMs and the comments telling me that to take my time and stuff. So, you know, I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Self-care is very important, especially, I mean, I can't imagine, at the level that you're playing at, especially in all the different things you're involved in. And I think it's good to be transparent. I really liked that you were honest, like, on your story and on your post, you were like, yo, your girl had to take a step back and take care of herself and do what she needed to do. I'm here, but, like, this is what's going on. I think that transparency is awesome, especially in the
Yeah, absolutely. Media. And, you know, it's like, it's fun to put on the front and, like, throw on the shoes, like, the nice shoes that I buy and the sweats and, like, put some rap lyric as a caption and stuff like that. Like, that's always fun. And 99% of the time I'm having a blast. But, you know, like, if I got some stuff to take care of, like, YouTube sadly has to come last on the list. But that won't be for long because I'm working really well on time management and getting better at that. So I won't have to make any sacrifices.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, we evolve. We learn and we evolve. That's what life's about. And so you mentioned too some of the work that you're involved in, and you have announced recently a big internship coming up, or not necessarily internship, but like working with.
Yeah, it's basically an internship.
Okay, got it, noted. So you mentioned, you know, you do some client work, you do some really cool highlights for different people, and now you're going to be working with the PLL to do some awesome videos for them. Very pumped about that. How did that come about? Like, how did you get involved, and what are you looking forward to, you know?
I've just always been, like, because people, I think, forget that, like, the vlogs have just been, like, this past year. But I've been filming lacrosse games since my junior year of high school. Like, I love it. Like, I love sitting on the sideline. I love filming the student section, the big goals. Like, I love getting the celebration shots, like, everything. So, I mean, I started off super young, and I went to a Bayhawks game over a summer. And I made a video of Miles Jones when he had, like, just recently been traded there, like, his rookie summer. And I sent it to him on Instagram, and he loved it and told me to send it to him and text it to him. And I remember, like, texting my friends being like, oh my gosh, like, I have Miles Jones' phone number. Like, this is so crazy because, like, I was that young in the game and, like, that inexperienced. Like, it was just literally the coolest thing ever. And then, you know, I just kept working for him, and people would pop up and ask me for things, and I was always willing to do video work. And then Miles and I did, like, 2 summers straight of just me going to all the games because the Bayhawks play, like, 15 minutes from my house. So I was literally a straight shot down 97, and I'm at the stadium. So it worked out super conveniently. And then I got a couple guys from the team there that I was doing it for this past season, Josh Byrne and Heacock. And then, yeah, I think just, like, I always try to do my best work, so that way if somebody stumbles upon a video of mine, like, it's my best work. You know what I mean? So, like, I want, like, I don't want to take, because, like, yeah, I make 50 videos for Miles, but, like, if the one that somebody sees is not good, then, like, that's the only impression they'll have of me. So I think I just keep trying to put my best work out, and the opportunities just keep coming my way, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, the work's paying off. So, you know, what kind of work will we be doing for the PLL, and where exactly will we be traveling to all the different cities, or will you be based in LA? Like, what's likely to be your home
base? Yes, so I think I'm doing filming, editing, just, like, you know, the classic stuff for PLL this summer, and I'm super excited about that, but I'm spending the summer in LA this summer, so I will be here. They're headquartered like 20 minutes from my apartment, which is amazing. And I'm not quite sure what my travel role will be yet. I think I'll be traveling to some games, I would imagine. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And I will obviously keep everybody updated on that.
Yes. Can't wait. Can't wait to follow along. And I skipped over this in our USC section, but one of my favorite series that you do is Katie versus, and I just, every time I watch those videos, I love it. It's so cool to watch, like, fantastic college level athletes CR6 and be, especially for those who haven't played for CR6 and be like, what is this? Like, so, you know, how does the USC lacrosse team kind of interact with other teams on campus, especially, you know, like basketball or football or any of, you know, the sports that are just as, if not bigger? And then how did that kind of give way to the Katie versus series?
So anybody who knows me knows that I'm, like, a very social person. Like, all the social media stuff is not just a front. Like, I really am like that. I'm saying hi to everybody. Like, I'm cultivating new friendships at literally every single day. So within athletics, I've always had buddies on other teams. And so I've always wanted to kind of highlight that in my videos. Like, last spring, I was like, how can I get these other people involved, like these other athletes? And then over the summer, I was thinking on it too. And then when I got back to campus, I was like, all right, well, I have all these friends that are athletes on other teams who are, like, hilarious and, like, could be great on camera. And I was like, why don't I just have Kerrigan film me trying to teach them how to play lacrosse? And then I forget who it was, but somebody gave me the idea to try their sport too. And then I started, like, drawing inspiration from, like, all of the classic, like, Shaq verse, like when Shaquille O'Neal used to, like, do the same thing. And then I was like, all right, like, KT verse has a little ring to it. So I figured, like, one of my best friends here at USC is Jonah Matthews, who is on our men's basketball team. He's been in, like 10 of my videos. And so I figured I would just do, like, the little guinea pig test run with him. So we, like, had no idea really what we were doing. We went on the rec field, like, late at night because it was the only time it would be open. And I taught him how to play lacrosse. And then it was funny because he just is, like, hilarious, and, like, his reactions to the sport were just awesome. And then we went and went onto the, like, I don't know, just, like, the street basketball court. We just like messed around there and like played a bunch of basketball, and he tried to teach me how to play, which I already kind of knew because hashtag we beat Old Mill when I played in high school. Anyway, so yeah, so then that turned out great. I dropped the video and like people loved it, so I started putting more thought into it. I was like, all right, the Kerrigan piece, her filming like is very good for the continuity. Like her little side comments and laughter behind the camera like made it like that was half the thing. And then yeah, I just think it's really cool because people who don't play our sport, who are like you said, like top athletes at like a top athletic institution, like literally don't pick up a stick and like don't know how to cradle a ball without it falling out. And then like vice versa, I go and play their sport and I'm awful at it. And I think it's cool for like the exposure of our sport, like because I always have the athletes cross promote it on their Instagram account. So, you know, like say like Victoria Garrick, the volleyball girl I did it with, like if she puts it out to her 30,000 followers, like a lot of those girls are probably volleyball girls who have never seen lacrosse, and then they get exposed to my channel and they get exposed to our sport, which I think is just like really awesome at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I agree. And you know, so how do you think social media has really impacted the growth of our sport and especially women's lacrosse? Like, how do you think social media's helped us?
Yeah, so I think social media has been huge for lacrosse, specifically women's lacrosse. You know, there's obviously like, so when we were coming up, like when we were in high school, there was like Lacrosse Network and like Inside Lacrosse and like all that, East Coast Dives, all those like big YouTube, Instagram kind of like pages, I guess you could say. And then I think it's cool now that you're seeing the emergence of like East Coast Dives women's lacrosse, and like IL Women has a huge presence, and like TLN Women, and then there's people like me, there's people like you, there's people like, you know, Taylor Cummings, Alex Oss, like Kylie Ohlmiller, just dropping content all the time. And I think like if we're smart, like, and I think we're all being smart, but I think the cross promotional opportunities with other female sports, because I think like girls in general in athletics want to support each other like a lot. Like I think it's a huge part of the fabric of like the modern like female athlete. And so I think like myself doing a video with like the women's water polo team at USC, like, and them posting it to their followers, and then their little water polo girl followers coming and looking at my channel. And like, I just think, and Taylor Cummings has been doing a good job with that as well. And I think it's just cool. Like, I think, yeah, like we like to support each other. And I think without social media, it would be a little tough to like, I don't know, grow women's lacrosse at the rate that men's lacrosse is growing, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense. And I think something that I, you know, I'm sometimes struggling with, and it's so funny to think like 13-year-old me would just run to the keyboard and start yelling, is when I see rude comments about women's lacrosse. Like, for as much as I've grown and matured and all these things, it still kind of stings. And like, you know, what advice would you give me as a way that I can just kind of ignore that noise?
Yeah, so I don't know. I always just like something, because I get hate comments. And I would just say, like, I mean, I don't get a lot. Like, I'm not like struggling over it, but like,
I was like, who do you
it
want me to
definitely,
tweet at? I got
yeah,
you.
no. It definitely pops up, but I would just say, I don't know. It's always like the anonymous accounts. Like, it's always like people who have to do it on a keyboard. And like, I personally don't think that any of the people who are saying these things to you or me would say it in person if they saw us. So I think it's just like a part of that whole keyboard warrior thing. And like they like, okay, someone I take a lot of inspiration from with like dealing with the haters, you know, like at for better or for worse, is Scott Rogers, the goalie for the PLL Atlas, I want to say. And he is just this like 300 something pound gigantic like goalie for he played in the ML and now he's in the PLL. I mean, people know him who are probably listening. And he just like puts people on blast on his Instagram story when they hate on him, which I think is really funny. But then I like how one time I responded to him and I was like, yo, you go, you go. And he was like, I gotta be this rhino so I can take the hits for other people. And I just think that's like, I don't know, I just think that's a really cool mentality that like he said on a podcast with Paul Carcaterra that he has this like look at me now mentality where like when haters are like hating on him, I guess, for lack of a better word, he just like uses that as fuel and then just like keeps grinding, and then like he's satisfied with the product at the end of the day, and like he's just like, look at me now, like look at how big I got, like, and your hate just fueled that. So I like to think of hate as just like fuel. Like I don't even like controlling the controllables. Like what can I say to this person that's gonna change their mind? Like they're probably just trolling anyways. So like I just use it as literal fuel to just like keep going on whatever I'm working on.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That's awesome. And I think my worry, with when I see, you know, comments kind of disparaging women's athletics and women's sports in general is just like, I hate to see the great work that people before us and us and, you know, so many of our teammates and people that play sports as well have done to really bring our game to where it's at now. And it's like, I almost feel protective. I'm protective. Like, I'm, you know, the my little rhino self, like, fighting for the respect that the women's game deserves. But yeah, yeah, I guess we should just, we'll just ignore it. I'll do my best.
I think you have this good way of, like, being sassy when you, like, you, like, quote the tweet and then you, like, make the person feel really stupid. And, like, I just am not that clever. Like, if I started to get in a fight with them, like, I would just literally lose the fight. So, like, I feel like you are on a good track there, whereas I just, like, can't answer or else I'll just get rocked, like, honestly.
No, I got you. I got you. And I think I've been using more and more GIFs lately. And they just change the game up because I'm like, you are not serious. Like, let's, okay. Let's, yeah, I'm like, I'll win this war. but yeah, so it's just always interesting to be involved in those disagreements on social media and see what's happening. So wild stuff. And so you have 2 years left at USC.
Yes.
Time, you know, got lots of good time left. But have you, you know, kind of started thinking of what you want your social media and your YouTube and filmmaking to evolve into, like, you know, what's on the horizon for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So first on the horizon is finishing my final exams right now. I will say that. but no, so I think I just want to use these 2 years at USC. Like, I have an awesome opportunity, obviously, to, like, play lacrosse at a top school. And then, you know, there's just so much to film. And, like, I'm so grateful for the life that I live right now. Like, and I feel like not showing it to the world and not documenting it would be a sin, because, like, people I think would love to see what I'm doing, obviously. So I just want to keep getting better, like, refining my skills with the vlogging, and, like, I really want to grow, like, a pretty big following, like, and not just, like, a big number, but, like, a loyal following, like, people who will tune into every single video because they love me and they love my team, as opposed to just, like, a big number and I don't care about them. Like, it's really a two-way street. And I want that to just keep getting bigger, because I think it really has the opportunity to be, like, an uplifting, like, family type of thing for these kids that comment on my videos. And then I just want to keep doing the client work, obviously, just refining my skills there, working for a ton of new people. I want to try working for different sports, like, maybe sports teams. I love making, like, little edits of my my fellow USC athletes. Like, I have a couple basketball players I want to get in the gym with and take some videos of them. And, you know, it's just, like, a great school to be practicing those skills. But honestly, I mean, I don't know what I want to do when I graduate, but I know 1,000% that it will involve my YouTube channel and it will involve me with a camera in my hand.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And what would you say, you know, to your subscribers that are watching you, you know, living your dream and being able to combine your passion for lacrosse with your passion for film? Like, how can they, too, discover their passions or maybe kind of follow a path that's similar to yours?
Yeah, so I would just say that, honestly, like, hard work is the number one thing. Like, you just got to always grind, and it's okay to realize if you're not okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't always have to be, like, pretending like you have to grind. Like, it's okay to take a step back, like, take an off day, whatever. But hard work really is the one thing. And I would also say just, like, everything happens for a reason. Like, I've told this story 1,000 times, but the only reason I picked up a camera in my sophomore year in high school, which started all of this, is because I got a concussion during my lacrosse season and I couldn't play. So I figured I would film the game and just make, like, a tiny video of, like, me and my teammates, like, just for fun. And I remember at the time that concussion was the literal worst thing in my life, because I had just been pulled up to varsity. And I remember when I got diagnosed, I was in my mom's car, like, after one of our playoff practices, and we had just dropped off one of my teammates, and I was literally bawling to my mom, like, in the shotgun seat. And just, I remember that specifically because I thought that it was, like, the end of the world. And then it led to just so many amazing things, but I think it wouldn't have led to these great things if I hadn't worked hard. So I think it's definitely a combination of the two.
Yeah. I gotta love the shout out to hard work. You know, and I feel your pain with the concussion. So concussions have been a big topic in our game, especially as of late, with, you know, helmets being implemented. I was doing a clinic at Columbia, and a bunch of the girls that, you know, had come from the local schools all had helmets, and it was like, yeah, like, we have to wear these, and this happened, and this happened. So, I mean, how do you see concussions within the game, and you know, what do you think about the helmet debate?
Honestly, I don't know enough about this to even, like, comment on it. Like, I literally know nothing. So, like, I don't want to just offer some, like, quote or opinion when I actually just don't even know.
Yeah, hey, that's fair. I respect that.
Yeah,
I respect that.
I mean, I can't front. Like, I really don't know much about the whole headgear thing. I just put on my goggles and my mouth guard and hope for the best.
Yes, yes. And we go keep you in our prayers. Make sure you're good.
Yeah.
Make sure you're good. Well, so do you, I mean, have you kept up with maybe any of the rule changes that are proposed or, you know, lacrosse going to the Olympics, some of the rules that they're proposing for that?
Yeah, so I think lacrosse in the Olympics would be super awesome. I know there's a debate about, like, I guess the rules would have to change a lot in order for it to be in the Olympics. But I don't know. I think I'm a little indifferent on that. Like, I feel like a lot of people are saying it's not lacrosse, like, the way they're proposing it. Like, it's just some, like, form of lacrosse. Like, it's not our sport. But I think as long as there's, like, a stick in the hand and, like, the best players in the world, like, I think it'll always be lacrosse. So I think that type of exposure would be awesome. And then, you know, I just think, like, lacrosse being this summer on national TV with NBC and the PLL is going to be so cool. Like, I think we're at a really unique point in our sport right now where, like, the dive is back in men's and, like, there's a shot clock. And, like, I feel like the on-the-field product is getting a lot more exciting. And, like, the social media era and then the national and global view of this is just, like, really all culminating at a really cool time. And I think it's fun for, like, myself and you and, like, everyone else who makes content in our sport to be a part of this because it really is, like, an amazing moment for our sport.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely was one of the people who reacted not necessarily the most positively when the proposals for the Olympics came through just because I'm like, this isn't the game I play and, like, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
And all these things. But I do see the positives that it can have for everyone else, whereas, you know, it's not like the whole game is going to completely change and become this Olympic style. And to some extent, there have to be some adjustments made to get the game where we want it to be. And if the Olympics are our end goal, you know, I'm sure the people making decisions are well-informed enough and understand, you know, the differences and changes that need to be made in order to make it happen. So, yeah, I'm so pumped. I'm excited for the growth, like you mentioned, and seeing lacrosse on TV in the summer. You know, having the new league and going to games. You know, I'm so close to the Blaze games, and I'm close to Swarm games, and I've always enjoyed going to those. So I agree, we're in a really, really great time for the sport. We're lucky to be here. We're lucky to be here.
We definitely are.
Yeah, well, Katie, thank you so much for chatting with me about your experiences at USC before then, your plans and all these different things. For those of you that do not follow Katie yet, please, please, please give her a follow. She's making amazing, amazing content for all our favorite athletes and sharing her journey as a USC athlete. And I'm so excited to continue following along and seeing what you do next.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I really, really appreciate it. This is my first time ever on a podcast, which is super nervous and super exciting at the same time. But I also just wanted to say shout out to the We Beat Old Mill crew. Just wanted to throw that in here at the end so I could let everybody know that.
Yeah, and don't forget to tell them to subscribe.
Oh, yeah, and everybody please subscribe to my YouTube channel.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.